Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, October-November 2025, and Real Simple, September 2025. Let's get started with the first article. Sourdough to Savor. Make the most of your sourdough starter with these delectable recipes for discards and cherished culinary staples. By Jenny Underwood. Sourdough starters are one of the most versatile items you can keep in your home. You can make not only delicious artisan-style breads, but also pancakes, muffins, and pizzas. Sourdough starter is easy to make, keep, and use, so let's dig in. Making your own sourdough starter is simple and requires only two ingredients, flour and water, a mason jar or crock, and a breathable covering for your container, for example, a clean dish towel and rubber band. To begin, combine 1/4 cup flour, use what you cook with the most, and 1/4 cup unchlorinated water in a wide-mouthed mason jar or crock. Stir well and then cover it tightly with a breathable cover. For the next 3 days, add 1/4 cup flour and 1/4 cup water every day. By the fourth day, you should notice some bubbling. This means your starter has activated. If your starter isn't bubbling, continue the process of adding flour and water for another 1 to 2 days. When your starter starts to bubble, add 1/2 cup water and 1/2 cup flour. Stir well and let it sit for 12 hours. Now you have a sourdough starter that'll work well in biscuits, pancakes, pizzas, and other low-rising breads. To produce a bigger rise, your starter will need to be mature, about 1 month old. To use your starter, remove the desired amount and place in a separate bowl. Feed your remaining starter with 1 cup water and 1 cup flour. Stir well and cover. You'll have a few options for maintaining your starter. If you'll be using your starter every day or every couple of days, leave it on your counter and feed it every day. If you're only using your starter once a week or even less frequently, then store it in the refrigerator with a tight lid to prevent odors from contaminating it. This will also prevent the starter from drying out. Remove your starter and feed it the day before you intend to use it. After the starter has become bubbly and active, remove the amount needed. If you need your starter to become active quickly, or if you've left your starter in the refrigerator for an extended period of time, simply feed the starter every 12 hours instead of every 24 hours. Every time you feed your starter, first remove an equal amount or more from the starter. This is called the discard, although there's certainly no need to actually discard it. Discards can make wonderful quick breads, pizza crusts, batters, and more. Scrumptious sourdough recipes. After your starter has matured, you can start making higher rising breads, such as crescent rolls, artisan no-knead bread, and sandwich bread. Don't add too much flour when first making your dough or batter. The rising or fermenting time will allow the flour to absorb the moisture in the mixture, and too much flour will create a heavy, dry loaf. In my experience, adding just enough flour to produce a thick batter that's difficult to stir but too wet to knead is the perfect texture. It's better to add too little flour than too much because you can always add a small amount of flour when you're dividing the dough into loaves or rolls or when you're working to shape the bread. I use freshly ground whole wheat hard white winter flour. Freshly ground flour is superior in taste and quality, in my experience, but you can also use unbleached all-purpose flour, bread flour, rye, hard red wheat, or one part white and one part wheat. Depending on your flour, you may need to make some adjustments, such as adding more or less water, or kneading for a shorter or longer time. If you'd like to grind your wheat fresh, you'll need a grinder. With that, you can make a truly custom bread. A few other ingredients I use are quality salt, fresh eggs, milk powder, raw sugar or honey, butter, and olive oil. To store your baked bread, wrap it to retain moisture. Never wrap your bread until it's completely cooled, though. Once it's cooled, store the bread in storage bags, aluminum foil, snap-tight bowls, or a bread box. The bread will last around 5 to 7 days. You can also freeze your bread and thaw it for fresh-tasting bread anytime. Tips for success. While sourdough starters are rather forgiving, some things can go wrong. Not feeding your starter enough can cause a liquid or crust to form on top. This is easily remedied. Just stir and feed. Most colors on top of the starter are harmless, but throw your starter out if it becomes hairy or fuzzy or has pink, red, or orange spots. Don't store your starter by other ferments. One time I was storing kombucha and sourdough near each other, and I'd find SCOBY on the starter, which is somewhat common. So I prefer to store mine in different rooms, or at least not side by side. Store your starter where it's not too warm and where you can keep an eye on it. Pour your starter into a clean container frequently to help prevent buildup on the jar, which can grow undesirable microbes. Make a starter, keep it clean, and enjoy it for years to come. Pizza. Yield 2 13-by-9-inch pan pizzas, or 6 servings. Ingredients. 1 cup sourdough, discard. 1 tablespoon oil. 2 teaspoons salt. Flour. 1 pint pizza sauce. 4 cups cheese. Toppings. Bacon, onions, peppers, sausage, hamburger, shredded chicken, squash, cheddar cheese, or sliced tomatoes. 1. Mix the sourdough discard, 1 cup water, oil, salt, and enough flour to form a stiff batter. Cover and allow to sit for 1 to 12 hours. 2. Lightly fold dough on itself and divide into 2 sections. Lightly flour counter surface and gently roll out the dough to fit your pans, adding flour as needed to make the dough manageable. 3. Cover with sauce, cheese, and toppings. Bake in a preheated oven at 425 degrees Fahrenheit for 25 to 30 minutes or until cheese is golden. Pancakes. Yield 6 5-inch pancakes. Ingredients: 1 cup sourdough discard, 2 cups flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 2 eggs, 1/4 cup oil, melted fat or butter, 1 tablespoon baking powder. 1. Mix sourdough discard, flour, and salt with 1 cup unchlorinated water. Allow to sit overnight if desired. Optional: omit the overnight fermentation and skip to the next step. 2. In the morning, add eggs, oil, baking powder, and enough water to get a pancake batter consistency. I prefer a thinner pancake, so it's not a problem to get it cooked in the center. 3. Heat a griddle on medium heat. Grease the griddle and heat until water jumps when sprinkled on it. 4. Put a small amount of batter onto the griddle and cook for 2 to 4 minutes until bubbles form. Flip the pancake and cook for another 2 to 4 minutes until done. Biscuits. Yield 12 biscuits. Ingredients: 1 cup sourdough discard, 2 cups flour plus extra for kneading, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/4 cup butter, oil, tallow or lard, 1 tablespoon baking powder. 1. Combine the sourdough discard, flour, salt, and 1 cup unchlorinated water. Then add the melted fat and mix well. Let the mixture sit for 8 to 12 hours, or if you're in a hurry, let it sit for 10 minutes. 2. Sprinkle baking powder over the dough and knead it well into the dough, adding flour if needed. Roll the dough out about 1 inch thick. 3. Cut out biscuits and place them onto an oiled pan, turning to coat once. Bake at 450 degrees Fahrenheit for 12 to 15 minutes or until golden. Crescent rolls yield 16 rolls. Ingredients: 1 cup starter, 1 cup milk, or 1/2 cup milk powder and 1 cup water, 1/3 cup honey or maple syrup, 1 stick butter softened, 2 eggs, flour. 1. Combine all ingredients except flour. Add enough flour to form sticky dough. Cover with a clean dishcloth and let it rest for 8 to 12 hours. 2. Divide the dough in half. On a floured surface, roll out the dough into a 1/4 inch thick circle. Then use a pizza cutter to cut the dough into 8 triangles. 3. Starting at the widest end of the triangle, roll up each piece to the tip, forming the crescent shape. Place on a well-greased or parchment-lined pan and repeat with the other dough triangles. Allow to rise for 1 hour. 4. Bake in preheated oven at 375 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 to 20 minutes or until lightly browned on bottom. Sandwich bread. Yield 2 loaves. Ingredients: 1 1/2 to 2 cups starter, 2 cups water, 2 teaspoons salt, 1/2 cup melted butter, lard, tallow, or oil, 1 tablespoon honey, maple syrup, or sugar, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup milk powder, flour. 1. Combine all ingredients except flour. Add enough flour to form a shaggy dough. Cover with a clean dishcloth and let it sit for 8 to 12 hours. 2. Divide the dough in half and on a floured surface roll out each piece into a rectangle. Roll up each rectangle starting at one of the longer sides. Then tuck the ends under and pinch them together. Place the loaves into greased bread pans. I use iron bread pans. Allow dough to rise for 1 hour. 3. Preheat oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Place an iron skillet filled with water on the bottom rack. Slash the tops of the loaves and bake for 15 minutes. Turn the temperature of the oven down to 380 degrees Fahrenheit and bake for an additional 30 to 40 minutes or until browned. Bread should sound hollow when thumped. Remove and allow to sit for 5 to 10 minutes. Remove to a cooling rack. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Let's get back to sourdough to savor. No knead artisan bread. Yield 2 loaves. Ingredients: 1 1/2 to 2 cups starter, 2 cups water, 2 teaspoons salt, 1/4 cup melted butter, lard, tallow, or oil, 2 tablespoons honey, sugar, or maple syrup, 2 eggs, flour. 1. Combine all ingredients except flour. Add enough flour to make a shaggy dough. Cover with a clean dishcloth and let it sit for 8 to 12 hours. 2. Divide the dough in half and lightly flour your counter and hands. Place a piece on the counter and make into a ball. Place in a Dutch oven lined with parchment paper. Repeat with other piece of dough. Let the loaves rise for 1 hour. 3. Preheat oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. If your Dutch oven doesn't have a lid, add an iron skillet full of water to the bottom rack. Slash the tops of the dough with a sharp knife, scissors, or a razor blade. 4. Bake bread on the middle rack of the oven for 30 to 40 minutes, or until slightly golden. Remove the lids and continue baking until golden and the bread sounds hollow when thumped. Let the loaves rest 5 to 10 minutes after being removed from oven. Then cool them completely on a cool rack. Bake up our favorite time-tested bread recipes, from sourdough starter to quick bread and cinnamon rolls to sandwich bread. We cover all the bread basics in this video course. Watch and bake along with us at www.motherearthnews.com/bread-from-scratch. A beginner's guide to delicious handcrafted bread with minimal kneading. With artisan sourdough made simple, Emily Raffa allays readers' fears and proves that baking with sourdough is easy and can fit into anyone's schedule. Any new baker will quickly accrue questions, and Raffa has the answers. As a professionally trained chef and avid home baker, she uses her experience to guide others through the science and art of sourdough. With step-by-step master recipe guides, she teaches readers how to create and care for their own starters and bake a variety of delicious breads that suit their every need. Order your copy today. This title is available at store.motherearthnews.com or by calling 800-234-3368. That's 800-234-3368. Jenny Underwood is a homeschooling mama to four lively blessings. She makes her home in the rural foothills of the Ozark Mountains with her husband of 20 years. You can find her reading a good book, drinking coffee, and gardening on their little fifth-generation homestead. That concludes the article, Sourdough to Savor. Now we'll move on to Real Simple. Your words. What's your favorite memory of your childhood home? We had an apple tree in our backyard, and on quiet nights we could hear the apples fall onto the metal roof of the shed. My mother made amazing applesauce with them. I still think of that taste as home. Carrie Whitmer. When I was growing up in Florida, we had an oil heater in the hallway wall to warm the house in winter. My brother, sister, and I would crowd around the heater every morning before breakfast to warm our school clothes before putting them on. Instagram, Judith Henry Creative. We had about 30 pine trees in our backyard. No matter how hot the summer weather, it was always cool in the shade of the trees. The pine needles created a padded playground, and we moved them around to make rooms for our houses. Diane Roderick, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. My best friend across the street. Still best friends 62 years later. Instagram, AS5TJ. We lived on a hill high above sea level. The view was incredible, and we would have astronomers from a local astronomy club come up and use their expensive telescopes to look at the solar system. It was so cool. Carla Raber, Columbus, Ohio. Sitting on a branch of the guava tree, higher than the roof, I'll never forget how peaceful I felt on that tree. Instagram at H-O-O-0. The dining room and two chairs on either side of the china cabinet my brother and I would have time out in. We would try to have conversations behind the cabinet without my parents catching us. Ashley Romeo, Keene, New Hampshire. Our in-ground swimming pool. My grandfather gave it as a gift to our family. He wanted to watch us enjoy our inheritance. Every Saturday in the summer, he would stop by with a dozen donuts and watch us play in the pool. He even took a few rides down the curved slide. Carol Barnaby, Cumberland, Rhode Island. My father is a huge Pink Floyd fan, and there was always something great on the stereo. He passed that love of music on to me, and though the stereo is now a Bluetooth speaker, there is usually something on while I'm cooking, cleaning, or reading. Terry McGrath, Islip, New York. The smell of my mother's fresh corn tortillas, being cooked on the comal griddle as a child, waiting for the first sample with a dab of butter felt like an eternity. Decades later, the smell of corn tortillas cooking takes me back to my childhood home and grounds me. Angela Martinez Powell, Beaverdam, Virginia. We had a big porch swing where we would sit and watch the world go by. I went back as an adult and the swing was in fact very small, but to me, it was my whole world. Cheryl Matthews, Bakersfield, California. Our house had an unattached metal garage. When it rained, my family would back the car out and set up a card table in the garage with a big bowl of fruit. Hearing the summer rain beat down on the metal roof while we played cards and ate oranges was magic. Lynn DeCessa, Drescher, Pennsylvania. I lived with my grandmother as a child and loved her curio cabinet made of dark wood and leaded glass. It was filled with treasures, and she would tell me stories about each piece. Now I collect my own little treasures. I never realized until writing this that I'm following in her footsteps. Linda Erickson, Olympia, Washington. We had a hidden part of the yard downhill from the house. The fence was thick with honeysuckle vines, and I spent many a summer afternoon drinking honeyed dewdrops off the flowers before going back indoors to my books. We recently had to sell that home, and I hope the honeysuckle vines live on. Pamela Savage, Springfield, Illinois. Reader of the Month. Adrielle Dixon, 43, mom and fashion blogger, Wichita, Kansas, Instagram, style assisted. What's your favorite memory of your childhood home? Climbing, whether onto the roof to spy on the golfers on the course across the street, or into a tree to get lost in a book. My parents knew they only needed to look up to find me. The coziest thing in your home. The bed in the primary room. It fits both adults, a kid, and two huge Labradors for movie night. The one book you could read over and over again. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Elizabeth Bennet is hilarious. What's your favorite tradition? Getting Christmas books and decorations out the day after Halloween. My son loves it. It makes our holidays feel less rushed. Something you've recently stopped doing. Doom scrolling on social media. I've started listening to audiobooks or reading physical books so my phone isn't around me during the day. My people know to call me if they need something. I'm much happier, more productive, and significantly less stressed. Next question. What's your weirdest, most whimsical little habit? Send an email and a photo if you want to yourwords@realsimple.com and let us know your answer. Your response could appear on these pages. That concludes What's Your Favorite Memory of Your Childhood Home? Now on to the next article. Minor issues, major opinions. Should you aspire to inbox zero? Everyone's got thoughts. We collected yours, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all, by Ashley Abramson. 70% of commenters say yes, it's the only way to handle email. Readers say, absolutely. An empty box helps me stay focused and on top of the work. Plus, it's easier to see important emails the next time I check. Instagram, Mary, ELIZ428. The only emails in my inbox are those that require further action on my part. Facebook, Linda Hatfield. Mine is constantly emptied. If something needs saving, it goes into a folder. Things needing to be dealt with stay in the inbox until complete. Instagram, Karen Lauren C. Pottery. We all have enough to do. I didn't even have inbox zero on day one. 8 years later, despite plenty of rules, folders, and archives, it's a pipe dream. Facebook, Nicole Tomasi. My Gmail app notification shows 68,494 unread emails. Facebook, Jolynn Evans. People with only 500 emails in there? Amateurs. Instagram, GG2314. The experts say. Kind of. Inbox Zero, coined in the early 2000s by productivity crusader Merlin Mann, is the process of keeping your inbox empty of both unread and read emails. Because a mountain of messages is distracting, and it can interfere with your well-being, says Kate Huffnagel, founder of the Digital Wrangler, a service that helps people organize their e-clutter. Science backs her up. Studies find that tech clutter, just like the physical stuff, can cause anxiety. If you're happy with your inbox, carry on. If it's stressing you out, read on. Accomplishing inbox zero technically calls for scanning all your messages, then deleting them or moving them into folders like receipts or September project. But that was much easier 2 decades ago. The best thing you can do in 2025, file everything from before a certain date into one giant old emails folder, says Alexis Hasselberger, a time management and productivity coach in San Francisco. Nobody's expecting a response to an email from 3 months ago. And if they are, they'll follow up, she says. Then, if you really want that goose egg, Hasselberger suggests the one-touch rule. For all remaining and future emails, you can do one of three things, she says. You can file, you can reply and file, or you can acknowledge the email and put it on your to-do list. The point is that you touch the email once and get it out of your inbox. No matter what, don't beat yourself up about it. In fact, Hasselberger would really prefer to call it an inbox zero-ish approach. Even Mann reportedly said that people took his idea too literally. That concludes Should You Aspire to Inbox Zero. Editor raves, 3 things we can't shut up about. Colorful Sharpie markers. I keep a Sharpie in almost every room of my house for grocery lists, labeling lunchboxes, writing reminders on post-it notes, and marking up printouts for work, of course. The variety of colors makes me happy in a way only an estilophile can appreciate. Fine tip or fat ones, I'm old school and love them all. They're a classic for a reason. Phoebe Flynn Rich, creative director, $14 for 12 fine tip markers. DickBlick.com. Avocado 4-in-1 Avocado Tool. I'm Dominican and a pro at cutting avocados. My not-Dominican husband, however, isn't. I got this for him because it is so, so safe. It has a dull blade, a pit gripper, and a flexible meat scooper. Leslie Corona, Associate Editorial Director, $14, chefin.com. Dosset Facial Massager. I don't normally get sucked in by Instagram ads, but this little LED gadget hooked me, and I'm so glad it did. Not only does it feel like a luxurious spa treatment, but I can actually see immediate and long-term results. Jennifer Davidson, Associate General Manager, $40, Amazon.com. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.